Okay, and then here's the mute. So I believe everybody is muted now. So I want to welcome everyone this week to, this is the second module that we're doing, Discovering the Voice Within. And my intention for putting this together was that people often ask me a lot. They say, I talk to God, and I don't hear the answer. Because they haven't really yet discovered how the divine speaks to them. So we're going to set up a direct, recognizable communication with the divine, with what I'll call the I Am or divine or God. I may interchange this a lot, simply just to be diversified and let everybody be comfortable with whatever they want to call it, creator, source, chi, energy. The universe is the one I'm becoming most fond with, though I do use I Am tremendously. So, and the purpose of this is so that you can clearly communicate and act upon the divine knowledge received. Now, the key focus in here is communicate and act upon the divine knowledge received and being able to discern the difference so that it isn't your mind tricking you again. We're going to get really a lot into that today. And this is about discovering your own true self in a tangible and recognizable way that makes sense to all four levels of consciousness at once, your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies. To create in your mind a direct channel of communication, one that's immediate, one that's accurate, one that's pure, it's honest, and it serves yourself, which also serves then the highest and best good. Well, you notice when you're doing something, you're in the flow, everybody benefits. So in this particular week, we're going to learn to focus and control our senses, to be receptive to the voice when it speaks, so that we can develop the faith in ourselves and the strength and wisdom to carry out the wishes of our own true Lord and Master, our own divine. Now, that's why I started last week, 2 weeks ago, with the covenant and agree. We make an agreement with our I Am presence. And so that was our, you know, first mission, M1, like mission, I'm possible. And you make up your mind to listen to yourself, your higher self. But we have to really discover and know exactly what that is in order to be able to do it effectively. So I know that many of you wish to be healthy, wish to be fulfilled, and wish to be happy. Healthy is like healthy and happy together, I guess. getting ahead of myself. And poor learned habits or negative addictions, they're not going to get you there. You'll find that when you go to the center of your being, when you get inside, when you center yourself, that is why I actually started with the cornerstone, being centered, because you can still your mind, you can calm your emotions, which relaxes the body, and then you can find that power within that you know knows the way. Now, I'm going to be using sentences like that a lot because our personality, our ego, our brain, our gut feelings, our mind, and the I Am presence are all one. There's no separation here. So I'm going to start out with a question. And the question is, like, this is one I get asked a lot. It's like, so how can I replace my present perceived reality, my creation in the moment, if you will, with that fulfilled and joyful moment, that fulfilled and joyful life that I long for? Well, I'm going to tell you the first of a whole bunch of answers that you're going to get today. It might even surprise you. And the answer is, it's imagination. First, the use of imagination, I image within. I image in, you see? Imagination. I image within a nation. Now think about what a nation means to you. And truly that's actually a little bit restricted, but I'll tell you what, it's a great start. We're going to expand that into the universe. So we're going to use the divine to reveal its true self in a tangible and understandable language to draw the divine out into the forefront, like replace our conscious and subconscious mind. We're going to like replace one with the other, so that we're listening to our divinity, and that becomes our consciousness, and our unconscious mind becomes what our divinity gives our conscious mind to do. Now, we're each, in fact, a powerful divine being. An even easier way. Now, I like to have fun. So it's like, well, I'm going to do a really short centering here in a second here, but I'll tell you what, we could even do a real shorter one. It's really, really short. I learned it in New York. It's like you can have fun with this, and you can key things into your consciousness so that you could be having fun while you're going into the divine, and to let go of the past, to stop talking about it, you know? That's one really beautiful thing to do. It's like, have fun, because seriousness blocks evolvement, and just let go of the past. Now, here's a quick way to do that. A, you stop talking about it, but B, here it is. It's called the New York short version, shortest version. It sounds like this. You're getting anxious, you're getting upset, you're angry, your emotions are running amok, or your mind won't stop, you can't get to sleep. You just stand up as loud as you can and you say, forget about it. That's our New York centering. Forget about it. Just start on new. You can reset the default button. Now, for most of us, our mind trips all over itself with something so simple, because our brain loves to communicate in such a way that it compounds and confuses things and tries to make it hard. That's its job. It wants to feel wanted and known and appreciated and create feelings. Well, I'll tell you, when you get into the divine, the feeling is so incredibly not invasive. It's just a feeling of pure effervescence, you know. It's just brilliant. And there is no actual emotional kind of feeling. But yet it's an euphoric kind of bliss. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But right now I want to do just a centering, a very short version. So I hope that you're really planning and doing it, centering, because each one of these sessions builds upon the last. We're not doing one thing, okay, and then forgetting about it and going to the next. We're doing one thing and adding another. And I'm choosing like one or two things each time, but giving you a lot of shortcuts. Because sometimes some people, for example, when they go to center, they go immediately to blue or purple or violet. That's okay. You don't have to back up and try to go through red, yellow, orange, green. You just don't have to do that. If you're already there, you're already there. It's okay. Everybody's process is just slightly different. So just take a nice deep breath in now. Sit in an open body position. Allow your eyes to close. For now, I prepare to center myself. I close my eyes for peace and quiet. I straighten my spine to increase the energy flow. I just relax. Let go. Relax. And to help my body relax completely, I simply first visualize the most beautiful red color. Red is the color of the outer physical body. My mind's eye, I relax my outer physical body from head to toe. I click into the long version of centering immediately. My body becomes completely relaxed, still, and at ease. Yes, I relax my body from head to toe. This beautiful natural color red is the color of the outer physical body. Moving ever now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color orange. Like an orange itself, a beautiful natural orange color fills my vision. And in this instant, as I view this beautiful orange color, I release and let go all my emotional attachments to all people, to all places, and to all things and events in my life. I presence myself in this moment, now. I go into each and every cell and feel its aliveness. Orange is the color of emotions. I still and calm my emotions. I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow, like the sun itself, fills my entire vision. Each and every time I visualize the color yellow, I still and quiet my mind. Should there even be any stray thoughts there now, I just let them go. I don't pay attention to them. I redirect my attention to this most brilliant and beautiful natural yellow color. My mind becomes peaceful and still and quiet. Having now relaxed and let go of my three outer bodies, I open the door to the higher spiritual state, and I visualize the color green, green like all the grass and the trees and the bushes that surround us. Green is the color of peace. I feel the warmth of peace welling up deep inside me. Peace, Peace. Peace. I see myself communicating in a peaceful way. And I see the ripple effect of this throughout the world, starting with my friends, my family, my co-workers, strangers on the street, towns, villages, states, countries. I feel this peace emanating from my body. And that brings me into a much higher, beautiful state, the angelic realm, and I visualize the color blue. Blue is the color of love. Love is the outward centrifugal force that powers the entire universe, animates my body. Whenever I need more energy to perform any task set before me, I need only get up and do something to create the energy needed to create more energy and more till all of my tasks are complete. Blue is the color of love, the energy source of all that is. Next, I move into the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I simply know. I even know that I know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the divine focus, the center of all that is, my own true universe. I transcend all thinking. I even know that I know. Next, I visualize the most brilliant and beautiful natural violet color, like a violet itself. I am now centering myself. I am at the holiest of holy places, the center of my divine being. And I sit here in these next few moments of silence and go wherever it is that spirit leads me to go. Peace. 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 Peace, peace, peace. Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that I will need. And to begin my journey back, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to green, or to blue, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I am infused. I am enlightened. I am enriched with the knowledge from within. I just am. I know that each and every time that I center myself, I am more centered than ever before. Now just check in and notice your state. Notice, for example, when you first got on the call to where you are now. Maybe you notice a lot more in the room you're sitting in. Colors are more vibrant. There's a crispness, a silence. So we tuned out all of the white noise. You might notice that I'm going to be I'm going to have a lot of repetition. I'm going to do a lot of things redundantly because this is what we have done in our past. We're going to saturate yourself in such a way that your I am presence speaks louder than your ego, than your personality, than just your brain or just your emotions. We want to come into complete balance. So each and every time we practice something more and more, we become more of that than ever before. It doesn't go away or wane. We do need to pay attention to it. So let each of these tools build on the last. We're building a foundation from which to operate from. That's why I named this particular experience and this part of our experience of getting out of pain now, the Healing Foundations Program. We're not going to go from one to the other. We're adding. So it's very important to be rigorously, rapturously, and redundantly in the practice of your inner power and peacefulness. Did I say redundant enough? We look at it kind of like a word, oh, that's redundant. Yes, but look at our present lives. If we haven't got what we want, that's redundant. We're going to step into real excitement by being completely redundant in what it is that we want versus what it is that we've collected accidentally. So just take another breath right now. Let's just get all grounded. We'll breathe together and connect. Let's all connect with each other for a few moments. Notice your state of being. We're creating a community. All right, now let's just begin. Notice how quickly we can do these things. Notice if you're present. 30%, 100%, 60%. Whatever that percentage is, that's pretty probably close to how you're playing life. So just notice it. No judgments. Just notice. All right, now let's begin. I mentioned that we're going to use our imagination. Why? Why our imagination? I mean, we're just making it up, right? The answer is quite simple. The answer is, your imagination is not connected to any perceived reality. It's like looking at the clouds when you were a child, or even recently, and picking out animals or different shapes and forms. You might even have noticed that everyone's imagination was a bit different looking at the same cloud, because it's limitless, it's formless, and it's free. And it's not affected by the restrictive thoughts of yourself or others. There's a saying, imagination trumps logic and thinking every time. And that's way more than a saying, I'll guarantee you. For example, for myself, I imagined myself as a great builder. This would have never happened had I not imagined it first. I was studying carpentry. I was being a good carpenter. I was learning a lot of different trades. But I imagined myself building a home. And guess what? I built homes in 3 or 4 different states. Very big, beautiful custom house, because that's what I imagined. Imagination is the cornerstone of your creativity. As a child, it was easy to imagine. We had pretend friends, you know. The sticks that we found on the ground were swords. The castles were just sand. Cars flew in our head, not just only the toy planes. Star Wars was in the living room. Couch cushions were the cornerstones of our impenetrable forts. Imagination bypasses the mind. It puts everything together in and within and around the mind and creates whatever it is that you want to create. When you think about great artists, where does their vision originate? In the imagination. That's right. Whatever you imagine yourself, you are. I remember when I took my daughter from Colorado, she was dropping out of high school at the time. And I brought her to New York, and we went into a new high school. And I said, you know, when you walk into that room, that school, you can imagine who it is and what you are, and be that. Nobody knows your past. The only one that can bring the past to the present is you. So whatever you imagine yourself now, you are. And to cut a long story short, she went through high school. She got a degree at Syracuse University and graduated with honors. She was even used by the teachers there and the faculty to help teach others. Again, I mentioned myself. I was a carpenter. Then I saw myself as a builder. Then I saw that others could heal, and I imagined that I could be a great healer. And just as in my trades, by learning, by doing, I simply imagined that I could do that too. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I just made up my mind. Like right now, if you're imagining that you have a bad back, you're going to have one. And that's a story I can sure identify with. I actually created and imagined a bad back so that I could have some bonding with my family, because it seemed everyone in my family had a bad back, and that's what they talked about. So I actually imagined I had one too, and guess what? The power of my imagination is so great that I began doing things and acting things in my life in such a way that would create a bad back. You see how our imagination trumps thinking every time. The law is the law. Imagination trumps logic every time. Imagination is a power greater than just the mind, because it transcends thinking. It's gathering knowledge, all of the knowledge that you could possibly have and know, collected by all of your four senses and all seven levels of consciousness. Imagination comes from your source, the self within, the spirit deep inside you, the I am presence, the place where we are going. It's not dual by nature, it just is. There's no duality. It is the perfect part of you. It helps you to think correctly. And when you're thinking right, you feel right. You know that. And when you feel right, you act right. And you begin to create that previously elusive, perfect, fulfilled, and successful life. So you can really see why it's important to use this very important and natural aspect of your being. Now, I want to correct myself. It's not a part of you. It is all of you. To integrate this aspect of your being, I'll correct myself there. Your inner power, your divinity, your divine self, your genius, talent, just think about it. If you're doing what you love, then you're going to be happy in your life. You're going to be healthy. Everything is going to expand. It's actually been proven that when you're constricted and have limitations, that the fluids in your cells flow from the outer part of yourself towards the inner part. And when you're courageous and out there in excitement, it is exactly the opposite. So just let your imagination soar. When you listen to the guided visualization later, imagine that yourself is a child and just have some fun. I'll tell you a very powerful thing I saw. Imagine I was in Texas and I was visiting a Swami who was on stage, and there was about 1,000 people in the audience. And people were protesting outside. And one of those people burst in and started screaming and yelling about the Antichrist or some such thing. And we were all wondering what was going to happen. And the Swami stayed on the stage and he looked at him and he imagined love pouring into this man's heart. The man was standing there with his heels clicked together and his arms raised, screaming at the top of his lung. And pretty soon, he just ran out of energy and left. The Swami blessed him. And he was gone. You see, he didn't imagine that there was going to be a confrontation. He imagined peace. And that's what happened. So that's the trick. Just have some fun. Still your lower self. Center yourself so that your higher self can be heard. And invite your inner spirit to be enjoying your outer life. We'll put everything together here. Now notice I didn't say separate yourself, but invite to join. And then go into the part of you that's perfect. Everything gets to go. We all get to go. And then let your higher self transform your lower self. Now just to clarify, when I'm referring to the higher self and lower self, I'm referring to your three outer bodies, mental, physical, and emotional, red, orange, and yellow. And as your lower self, I'm simply meaning, and that's actually a lower vibration, but as your higher self, rather, I mean you're going into your spiritual, angelic, and Godhead, which is then putting you in the causal plane. Think of it this way, a good way to remember, as Jesus said it, the kingdom of heaven is within. So we're going within. When you become aware of yourself, you become aware of the kingdom of the universe, or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of all that is. Now, I'm really not preaching any religion here. I'm just trying to make an analogy. There's a few more. Because when you really look at the true religions, not what's being taught, but what is the true precept, what they were founded on, all religions pretty much said the same thing. Krishna spoke of the Atman, the Brahma, the outer and the inner. Brahma said, look within and see, or Buddha said, look within and see the Buddha. Muhammad said, know yourself and know the law. They were all just trying to get us to a simple truth. to listen to our own true Lord and Master within. Well, I'm just here to help guide you and show you how this inner power will help direct you to your inner truth and natural abilities so that you can begin to act upon this knowledge to live a fulfilled, happy, and very healthy life, and to enjoy your life to the fullest. Now, you can choose to stay unaware. You can get to lead a life of tolerance and complacency rather than nurturing and excitement. If you're already kind of excited or, you know, your life is nurturing, that's a good thing too, and there's more. A good thing to ask yourself, for example, from time to time. I do this working with sometimes in relationship situations, but you say, am I tolerating my life in this moment? Or is this moment nurturing me? And remembering that I am the creator of this moment. So you get to choose right now. There's also another saying you might be interested in. Change is inevitable. You're going to change anyway. The suffering part is optional. So check in for a minute. What's your inner voice telling you now? Is it saying, oh, let's get out of here. Let's not suffer anymore. What is it saying? Now, the reason that I keep asking this is because when we challenge our past with an undeniable truth, it's like igniting a war inside. Your brain's trying to take you to the teachings of the past with its experience and past learnings. Your heart, your divine self, is wanting you to live in the moment now. And this sometimes can take a lot of energy. Now, this is important because this is exactly when the brain tries to take over. It will put you to sleep in resignation and complete feeling of helplessness rather than allow you to keep fighting it. So do you see why it's so important to quiet your brain, to quiet your mind, and to listen to the true voice within? You go into the nothing so that you can be like surprised with this beautiful message that comes from the silence. So for those of you that, you know, or want to skip centering or take a shortcut or not quiet your mind, you may be dooming yourself on a treadmill that will most likely take you back to square one, right where you started. Your brain is extremely powerful, and it can be diabolical, so you want to be sure to use that power for your own highest and best good. I'm just going to tell you a little story. This is a story about Ahmad and the slave. It's done in ancient Rome. Ahmad was a very good businessman, and Ahmad's business grew so fast that he couldn't take care. So he went to his master and he said, Master, I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my business. I can't keep up with everything. My business is flourishing and I'm going to lose it if I can't service my customers. His master said, well, I have a very simple solution for you. So what is that? He says, I can lend you my slave. He says, well, he says, gee, I don't know. And he says, well, it's okay. He says, this slave is so amazing. It can do everything for you. It can keep the books. It can spin the yarns. It can make the fabrics. It can display them. It can advertise. It can collect the bills. It counts the money. It does everything that you possibly could need. And he says, well, that's wonderful. I'll take him. And he says, well, there's one condition. If you don't keep him busy, he will surely kill you. Ahmad says, no problem. I've got so much business. He says, I'll never run out of business. Well, of course, you know, about 2 years later, he's starting to run out of things for the slave to do. His slave is so efficient. And he runs to the master. He says, what am I ever going to do? He says, he's done everything that you said, and surely if I don't keep him busy, he's going to kill me. The master says, well, it's very simple. So why don't you take that big pile of rocks that's in front of your dwelling and have him move it to the back? And if you have nothing else for him to do, have him move it to the front. Keep him busy. He says, ah, and that will save my life. He says, yes. So the question is, what is the slave? Yes, the slave is your mind. If you don't keep it busy, it will kill you. People get really upset with me, and I say, oh, when did you create that cancer? When did you create this multiple sclerosis? Or when did you create this sinus infection? They go, oh, it's my fault, eh? I say, well, I don't care whose fault it is, really. But is there anyone else in there? What I'm very clear about is each and every event that happens in our lives is preceded by a thought. And that does include your health. So if you'd like, and something angers you like this, that's something to look at, because it's your ego fighting what might be true. So just take a minute when you're stressed or anxious or your emotions are running amok and ask, where is this energy in my body? And then talk to your body. It's going to tell you. Or simply move that energy into your heart. Lots of different ways to do this. Now, where I'm leading to is to change the order of command from your head to your heart, the seat of your soul. You'll find the perfection of life when you align the mental, physical, and emotional and spiritual bodies. You become balanced, cohesive, creative. You operate from the perfection of your true self in all your actions. Now, you might notice how redundant I am in this, as many ways as I can possibly tell you this, because the brain's going to try to find as many ways out of it. Now, you might also notice that most people operate only at about one or two of these levels. Usually, it's the physical and the mental, which completely leaves out the spiritual and the emotional. Sometimes it's the physical and the emotional, leaving out the mental. But one thing that's almost always left out is the spiritual connection. See, if you're not operating from all four bodies, you're not in touch with the full range of power that you possess. It's kind of like in carpentry, you know, we'd look at somebody, they're doing something really foolish, and we go, oh boy, that guy's about a half a level out, you know, referring to our levels. And we kind of made a joke of it, you see, but they were only using part of their powers, and so they were kind of missing the boat. They weren't creative. They were just there doing their time. Now, remember I mentioned we're entering the age of Aquarius, which is the age of wisdom and knowledge. We have left the Piscean age, the age of sacrifice and emotion. It is no longer necessary to make sacrifices to punish yourself. And it is time to take charge of your emotions and turn them into the passions that you have for life. When you align with your true self to the energy of the age, you come into balance and life becomes easier. Many people, and you are among them, I'm sure, intuitively just know how to do this. Sometimes our brain kicks in, tries to stop us, and we know what to do. Be still and know, I am God. You see how you use these? Now, there have been studies of Fortune 500 people, and what it boiled down to, like how they make decisions, was that, and incidentally, 50% of them never even went to college. Decisions were made on what the men called hunches or gut feelings and what the women called intuition. So what they said that they learned was that 90% of the decisions that they made came from the feelings from within. So let's wake up to the greater power within you, so that you become balanced, loving, and kind. You see, I've woken up to it, and it's changed my life. I was a redneck, macho, twit carpenter, cursing and spitting and all of those things, and I went from that to builder, to healer, to teacher. This is my calling, and actually it always has been. I've been ignoring it for many years. And I just recently decided to listen about 30 years ago. And now it's healing and teaching. That is my passion. That's what brings me joy, and I just love doing it. And as a result, I'm very, very rarely ever, ever sick. I don't create problems for myself. I see what they are, and I immediately act upon them. I find the thought form, the error thinking, unravel it, become aware. And once I'm aware, I can do something about it. Now, a lot of people come up to me and say, I know all that. And yet they're still unhappy and having lots of problems. So it doesn't really appear that they know it, because it's not showing up in their actions. And this is what happens with many. They just actually can tune in and hear the voice within, but instantly the brain kicks in with intelligence and logic, and the intellect doesn't believe it. And then comes that one famous argument. Now I don't know what my intellect's talking or my true self, because I've gotten this thing so tangled up. That's the genius and the power of the mind. Now the good news is it's powerful. So we just got to use that power in your favor. And that way you can act upon the truth from within before we confound and confuse it. Because if I realize something, if you know something and you don't act upon it, it's the same thing as not knowing. So you must really not know it. You must doubt it. You must be thinking it. That's one quick way you can tell whether you are coming from your true self or not, if you doubt that word. Because when you know, there is no doubt around it. So I really want to impress upon you on this very moment that you've already experienced the power within, but maybe it has taken second seat to your logic. And then the intellect just brings up all the experiences of your past to justify and defend what it just decided. But you can let go of the past and present yourself right now. By paying attention to the past is, in essence, it's reliving it and giving it power. And you're giving power to what's called the fabrications of your mind, poor recollections, careless conversations and thought. And it turns into something real and something alive, kind of like it even shows up in our businesses. You know, we form a corporation, something that doesn't exist, but it sure has a lot of influence. In the spiritual world, I would call that a spiritual entity, something that works against you, a negative energy, which is simply careless thoughts, poor recollections, trying to believe something that is no longer the truth. So instead of listening to your intellect, the easiest way to become in touch with your own divinity is to put aside all your personal desires and emotional wantings of your personality. Get centered and move into your own deepest true self and discover the way that you can hear it. Discover the way that when you hear it, that you can actually notice that it is that voice within. And then you can act upon it. No longer try to make sense of the logic surrounding an action or recent event. We often hear the words, trying to think. Why would you try to think when you could simply center yourself, be still, and allow the answer just to come? Try this. Whatever your mind runs amok, and you'll know because you'll be anxious, you'll be animated in ways that are kind of out of control, you'll start feeling uneasy. And you just put your chin down on your chest and you say these words to each other. Now, there's a lot of reasons to do this, but we're just going to do it again. I give up thinking that I am so smart that I can figure this out. Now listen to your brain. Check in. What's your brain think about that? Whoa, it says, I want to stay in control. And you just put your chin right down there. It says, hey, I give up thinking that I'm so smart that I can figure this out. Realize that you talk to your brain anyway. You might as well say what you want. And you might as well let your brain know you're in charge. You get to that. You. Like, who's telling your brain this if your brain isn't doing it? Check in again. You see, logic can mislead you. For example, ever notice when you're trying to make sense of your thinking and decision-making process surrounding an action event, like whether or not to be in a relationship, take a job, make an investment or not, that the tendency is to weigh the pros and cons and then count them out to see which one wins. This is called a binary system. And a close count, let's say 51 to 49%. And guess what? The house is still split. This causes great confusion because half of you almost is still against what the other almost more than you wants. And you wonder why you keep seeking the same job or wind up going back to the same relationship or creating the same illness. It might be because you have almost an equal amount of criteria on either side of the equation. Your life becomes trying to make sense of logic, which generally leaves you helpless and hopeless, feeling alone and in pain, just tolerating your life, grasping for joyful moments as your energy wanes and you begin to live a life of disappointment. Let me give you an example of that. Like, what if your truest joy was watching football or soccer? Well, you're living a life of disappointment, because then the only time that you're satisfied is when you're watching football. So then the rest of your life is spent in disappointment, waiting for the game to start. In this sense, you see, there's only chaos. There's no peace. Well, I'm going to let you know a little bit here. There's a very much better way. Put your head to your chest. Put your chin to your chest again. Yeah, put your head to your chest. I don't know. Most of you can't probably. I can't. Put your chin to your chest. Close your eyes and repeat after me again. I give up thinking that I am so smart that I can figure this out. And check in again. As soon as you realize that you're in chaos and not in peace, you might come to the realization that there's really no such thing as peace of mind. You see, if you're thinking that you're at peace, then you're not. If you say, I think I'm centered, then you're not. You're thinking. Being centered is in the all and the everything. There's nothing there. You're waiting for the inspired thought, the inspired message. It's only when your mind is completely still that you've gone beyond thinking and that you actually experience peace. I'm going to explain in a few minutes how we're going to consciously get into a powerful, peaceful place. And in this place, you don't make mistakes. You're effective. You're powerful and kind. So, to kind of set the stage, I just want to summarize a little bit here. To set yourself up to be able to talk and listen in a comprehensive way to your higher self, it's important to center yourself, to quiet the mind. It's going to be very important in this next process to use your imagination to surrender to the stillness completely. To surrender to your true individual divinity. And it's very important then, repetition. It's like, right now, just take a look at your learning process. How many times you need to repeat something before you finally have it, before it's yours, before you own it, before it becomes a part of you, and you never even have to think, it is just what you do. And most important, most important, the simplest thing, you be as a child. You have fun, entertain yourself, throw in little words that are fun and mean, have meaning of joy to you. I remember a story of Gandhi, and they locked him up for 3 years. They didn't let him read books. They didn't let him have a television. There wasn't the kind of electronics that we have these days. And somebody asked him, he said, well, how come you just didn't go bored out of your mind? He said, and I'll paraphrase this, it's just simply not a possibility, he said. There's so much going on inside me to find out. I am my own entertainment center. Yes, we have a lot of work to do. A lot of things that we can discover, unwind, unravel, free. Check in now, and often by repeating to yourself, I am the consciousness of you. I am the part of you that is and knows, who knows all things, and always knew, and always was. Yes, I am you, yourself, that part of you who says, I am and is I am. This I is yourself. It's your real self, your true mind. That's how you can talk to your brain. See, it isn't your brain doing it. The next time you center yourself, for example, center on this. All of the knowledge of the universe is in every cell of your body. You have every single knowledge of every single disease. You have every single knowledge of every single remedy, of every malady, of every solution. It is already there. We just need to bring it forth. So your human mind has been so engrossed in all sorts of supplying its intellect and body with infinite numbers of selfish indulgences. I'm not going to name them. You know what they are. Anything that distracts you from loving, living your life in healthy, joyful fulfillment. As a result, your relationship to the real you hasn't been cultivated. Remember, you've got to do something over and over again for it to become yours. And remember, you've been practicing who you think or believe yourself to be since the time you were born to this very moment. There's been so much interest in the pleasures and suffering of your lives that your whole attention has been derailed from the unity of your own divine presence. A lot of people call this the veil of forgetfulness. It's truly just distraction. And I truly say to you now, it's just simply a choice. You'll hear that from me over and over, because it's crucial to understand that in order to awaken to your consciousness and awaken your consciousness to the divine, that it's vitally important to still and quiet the intellect and the personality so that you can hear. Now, another easy way to notice if you're in your personality versus your divine self is that you find yourself defending or justifying your actions, or teeing up everything that you say with a story that would support the error of thinking that you're about to sling on us. I say it that way, but that's what it feels like to me. You're just throwing a big pile of mud on me, but you're teeing it up and putting lots of flowers around it so I supposedly won't notice. Because acting out of your I am consciousness, out of this beautiful, perfect space, requires no justification or defense, no tee-up. You simply state your truth. And once you've learned to awaken yourself constantly, consistently to the presence within, and you taste of this magnificence because it's so freeing, it's like no drug you've ever experienced, and the side effects are such incredible peacefulness, contentment, power, understanding, nurturing, kindness, unconditional love. These are the side effects. Imagine. That's what happens when you get what you want. When you're doing what is truly your genius and divine talent. And another way is to see if you're not present in yourself is to find yourself deliberating, using experiences from the past. The minute you go there, you're not in the present and expecting your future to change. It's a much better use of your time to deal with current conditions. The Hawaiians, for example, have a healing technique called Ho'oponopono, meaning when you see what is out of balance in another person, another thing, and another event, you have just been given a gift to go home and heal within yourself. If you find yourself blaming and condemning others, that's a really good indicator you're not in your divine presence. Because you're blaming and condemning yourself. You cannot recognize something in another without it being in yourself. Now, just a little quick something about letting go of the past. People a lot of times ask me about past lives. People ask me about venting, like they call up and they want to vent. I am not a proponent of either. It doesn't mean it's not good, doesn't mean it's not right, or it doesn't even mean it's wrong or bad. It just means that I'm not a proponent of it, that's all. I kind of see it this way. I have enough to do in this lifetime, let alone trying to sort out other lifetimes. Now, you can do what you want. But one of the laws that I become familiar with is that you are what you are presently thinking. This is really important. I'm going to say it again. It's a law. You are what you are presently thinking. Now, you can do what you want with that. I just prefer to presence myself in the now. There's a lot of people that have gotten a lot of healing from going into the past and their past lives. I understand that's okay. It's just not my thing. That's all. Like, for example, if you were holding a rubber band, you stretched it out in front of you, and you had your past in the left hand and your future in the right hand, and you just keep looking at your left hand, pretty soon the power of your right hand acquiesces and comes closer to your past. Because all of your power and attention is on your left hand. But now I shift my attention and awareness to my right hand, which is the present and the now, and I don't pay attention to the past, and pretty soon the past creeps up towards the present because I'm giving it no power. So if you're really wanting to actuate a change, I think it's better to direct your attention and identify your talent to create your dream and act upon that dream. It's your choice. And oh, the brain says, yeah, but I've got to have all this experience and I've got to draw on it and I've got to live by it and blah, blah, blah. That's different. Drawing from your experience you have than a tool that you're using that your brain can use at any time. The circumstances of the experience do not need to come to the present. So just tell your brain, be still and know I am God. And trust me, I'm God. I don't make any mistakes. Check in and remember and listen with every cell of your body. Now, I'm guessing most everyone has had a taste of the divine moving through their body, like a moment that defies all logic, or a moment of effervescent bubbles tingling all throughout the body and down the spine. Those times when you felt so wonderfully present that you feel as though you're floating in a cloud, completely comfortable and supported. You're feeling your senses floating in the world of bliss. This is the presence that speaks within so much more loudly than the end product of logic. I came across this kind of in a funny way. I was in an ashram of very great beings, Sri Satya Sai Baba in India. I spent several weeks, or actually a month, in the ashram. And there are so many people there, it's difficult to speak with them directly. And I was painting a sign, and I'm busy painting the sign, and everybody's looking right up next to me, and all of a sudden I look up, and there he is. I think, oh gosh, I could ask him any question in the whole world. And all that rolled out of my mouth was, this is my son. My son was sitting next to me. I thought, oh my God, I've blown it. I could have asked him any question in the world. And then as he's walking away, I hear in the depth of my being, who are you really? It didn't come from my brain. It felt like there was this vibration right in the center of my chest. And he turned around. He was about 20 steps away now, not saying a word. I didn't say that out loud. And he unfolded his arms and showed me the entire universe. I didn't put it together till recently. That's what's inside of our bodies. The more you look to the center of your bodies, the more space there is, like staring into the vastness of space. Now, when you become still and centered, what appears to others as amazing is normal for you. Let me give you some examples that I've personally experienced. I'm driving in my car in Colorado to a meeting, and I'm a little bit late, something I have to speak at. And I'm centering and trying to keep calm and so on. And so while I'm driving, I've learned to center to keep my eyes open for safety and well-being and allow all of my senses, an infinite amount of senses, to keep me safe. And I hear this voice just as loud as somebody saying it to me right in the same room. It says, Jesus is one of many. And it was so loud, I thought that somebody was in the back seat. And I pulled over to see who was back there. Nobody. And when I got to the meeting place, I told one of the fellows about it, and he says, oh, he said, that's Saint Germain. I said, well, who's Saint Germain? I wound up getting all 12 volumes of his discourses, studying Saint Germain. And this is how spirit works when you're tapped in. Another time I was in Colorado, I don't know if you heard about it, but many years ago a bridge collapsed. We're building a new bridge. I was on the highway where that bridge collapsed, and I was speeding. I caught myself speeding after I way past this area where the bridge collapsed, and that was the night that it collapsed. See, my I Am presence kept me safe. These are examples of your divine, your I Am presence, your perfect self working. When you get a taste of your divinity and begin to align in your truth, your true talent, you'll find the faith that gives you the confidence, causing you to act with the assuredness of the masters. And that creates more faith. Faith described despite all logical appearances, without any intellectual thought or supportive evidence, the event still occurs. So remember to bring your mind, your mindfulness, into the center of each cell in your body and repeat the covenant in agreement to your I Am presence. Repeat telling your mind to be still. To me, there's no need to look into your logical mind for the lack of exact words. You've already got the essence of it, so just bring the idea that you have made an agreement. To be dutiful, to be obedient to your own I Am presence. Because by this time, the essence of your commitment is being well seeded into your entire mind. So now in a couple minutes, I'm going to explain to you how to create your very own recognizable perfect self. I've been told that angels, for example, are simply many, many, many beings of knowledge, vibrations, sounds, colors, etc., that bring themselves into a human-like form, allowing us to accept and recognize the message given. And we do. As you continue to practice and listen to these beautiful visualizations, you're going to begin to see with the eye of I Am. And you learn to trust your inner guidance as a limited supply and support of all the energy and knowledge that you're going to need. And you'll no longer feel lost, powerless, unappreciated, or unloved. It's impossible. You're going to love yourself. As you will know beyond all thought that the divine loves you and all that you need. And this actually does release a great burden from you. You've heard people say, oh, give it to God. Let go. Let God. And you begin to allow choice in your life instead of decisions. You'll be led by your inner guidance with grace and ease. So let's go back to imagination and begin here. You're going to imagine, for example, that you're like a magnet. Now, a magnet is just a piece of metal. And through a process, all of the molecules of that piece of metal are aligned in one direction. And this simple piece of metal becomes a very powerful force. So if you see yourself like a magnet, all of the molecules of your body are going in all different directions. And you're going to magnetize and polarize all that energy and direct it into a singular focal point. You're going to draw from yourself whatever it is that you need by the power of magnetism and focus. You're going to align your mind, every cell of your body, with the mind of all that is. And you're going to create a picture of who you really are, your very presence, the very essence of you, the truth. And you're going to find something very beautiful. So you're going to use your imagination to make a picture of yourself, but not just yourself. This is going to be of your perfect self, your divine presence. You're going to imagine that you're a child who also has the greatest imagination ever. After all, you're just a kid. You can imagine anything that you want. So the first thing you're going to do is imagine yourself to be a great artist. In fact, the greatest artist that ever lived. It is true that you can draw anything you desire with greatest of detail. You can imagine that each and every one of your creations is a masterpiece surpassing that of any Picasso or Van Gogh. Yes, you are. You are the greatest artist that ever lived. And the second thing that you'll be doing is to imagine what medium you're going to use to create this image of yourself. It might be a brush or a sculpting equipment or oil paints or pencils. It doesn't really matter. Just allow your imagination to choose. Now remember, just allow your imagination to choose. There'll be no thinking here. And then we're going to go through a little process to raise our vibration in such a way that we're empowered and connected and powerful and safe. We'll do this by imagining and actually calling forth a beautiful violet flame to fill and surround each and every cell of our bodies. This is the violet flame of Saint Germain. Its purpose, as I understand it, is to cleanse and purify, to remove any impurities or error thinking. It burns through the body with a cool, soft flame, imploding and exploding, completely eliminating all error thinking. Then we're going to create a cylinder of white light around that violet flame. This is the white light of the Christ consciousness. This cylinder surrounds us completely like a giant pillar penetrating into the earth several feet and above our head by several feet. Your imagination will tell you exactly where. And you do this instantly the second you imagine it. We could call this the white light of truth. This light only allows truth into your energy field and only allows truth from your energy field. And then above your head, we're going to create, with your imagination, a giant sphere. This sphere will be the same diameter as the height of your body. I don't know if you know this, but if you spread your arms side to side and measure fingertip to fingertip, it's the same height as your body. This sphere, we will imagine, is an incredibly pearl essence. It's a white, clear light. It's very clear, and yet it's kind of white. That can happen in a vision. Our imagination could do anything we want. And there's a sense of complete nothingness, the kind of nothing that is completely at one. In other words, there's no duality here, no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no criticism, no judgment, no emotions. It just is. It's just a beautiful, empty space that contains the knowledge of the entire universe. Now, within this sphere, you'll be directed with your imagination to begin creating your own image, the image of your own divine personal self. Now, the idea here is to draw your divine being. There's no thinking allowed. Allow your imagination to just soar. Your imagination is going to be fueled by the presence within. And through your imagination, you will create your perfect self. Now, we'll go through a very specific process to do this, beginning at the top of your head and moving through your body and winding up at your feet. And you're first going to draw your body using all of your imagination. And you're going to have ample opportunity, don't worry, to touch and retouch and perfect this incredible image as you are directed to pour all over this magnificent image with all of your might and all of your imagination to create your true presence. And then you'll be directed to clothe this beautiful and perfect image of yourself. You're to let your imagination soar. Any material, any design, any fabric, you can even invent it. You could have free-flowing clothes or tight-fitting clothes. It doesn't matter. Whatever works for you. Clothes that look exactly like your body. It doesn't matter. It is whatever your imagination creates. And then you'll be directed to pay particular attention to your hairs. That is your crowning glory. And very particular attention to your eyes, being sure to fill them with so much light, reflecting the light of your soul. And your hands, is that what you use to create? The light in your heart. And your imagination will help you to draw this, will actually do the work with this, the medium that you choose. And you do this with kindness and love and appreciation. That is the essence of your being as you create this image. You draw this image with a beautiful, kind, yet powerful orientation. There are no limitations as to color and texture and style. Just go with whatever your imagination creates, and you will find the most beautiful and brilliant presence. My beloveds, once you have spent so much attention to the detail, you'll be instructed to step back and give you your perfect presence back to you, allowing your imagination to make any adjustments and alterations that your imagination wishes to do. You just let it flow. Feel the joy of being a child again. The newness, the complete freedom, a new toy. Feel the silence. And then you get to step back again and take a look. And make any adjustments that your imagination wishes you to make. You draw in each detail again. You create it however it is that you like. Till you see this peaceful, powerful, loving, and kind being. This whole image may be as cut in stone, or perhaps your median is the most magnificent painting. In either event, it is so lifelike. It is real. And then you step back once again. And this time you light up like there's a big light behind you, this entire brilliant being. And once again, allow the imagination to soar, making any adjustments or alterations to the overall picture. This light illuminates you from the central core of your bones to your outer appearance as you have drawn yourself in this manner. Next, you'll be instructed to do one last thing, and that is to create a beautiful plaque, a sign that has two simple words on it. You can emblazon the sign with a gold light or a white light or whatever you choose, whatever your imagination leads you to do. And then you'll be instructed to place this sign above your head. For you have just taken this internal and external journey and made it one into the I Am Presence. And you have achieved what one would call their connection to God. Or simply God. And made it real. Now when this happens, you're going to come to many realizations. If you had just created your mind a vision of your true self. And all of a sudden, the word responsibility, yes, I am responsible for who I am. And guess what? I have just created who I am. Now, I think that most of you know that I am is one of the most powerful statements that you can put before any declaration of your intention. It is the sound of all that is. Now that's the entire visualization that you'll be going through. But right now I'd like to add a few words for you to contemplate. For now you've created your own best friend. Someone who will always tell you the truth. This is the being that you go to rather than the being of your past. You can even send this being into the future with all of the knowledge and all that you wish to create, already being done in your imagination. So you can imagine yourself as having everything that you always wanted in great detail. And you can even ask questions like, wow, I've sent this beautiful being into the future. What can I do today to ensure that what I want 1 year from now occurs? Or you could ask, what is the best path for me to follow? And be silent. Or should I mentor other people with what I know? Should I become a teacher? You can ask any question you wish and allow your I Am Presence to answer. Now I'm going to tell you it's no good to do just once in your life. This is a place to revisit and visit and revisit again. And you become so familiar with your I Am Presence that it is always then your I Am Presence speaking. Your intellect now and your brain is strictly there to carry out the instruction of your I Am Presence. You will have made the switch. So you've created your own true Lord and Master within a tangible form that you can recognize and visit all the time. So my encourage you to let people know this loving and kind and benevolent individual that you are. You can go now out into the world and be complete yourself. Now, when you enlighten your body thus, you light up inside. You do become enriched. You become mentally enthused, emotionally energized, and physically. Your stamina will be like never before. Now, it's important to impress these concepts and images onto your brain repeatedly. It does do no good just to do it once. Look often and see this image until it is completely engraved upon your brain. This is what I am. My mind is now servant to my I am presence and will do exactly what I am tells it to do. The truth is that I am an enlightened being. I am enriched, I am enthused, and I am energized with the truth of who I am. Whatever you image yourself is what you are experiencing in your reality. I'm going to say that again. So if you really want to see what you're thinking right now, whatever you image yourself is what you are experiencing in your reality. That is the law. Now, just a couple of final things here before you get ready for our next adventure. Now, remember, you're adding and building upon each of these teachings. So each one complements the last. Now, in this one, when you have created your I Am presence, you can create more pictures. You can create a picture of a family, a happy, loving, and warm, and kind, communicative, whatever it is that your picture of family is. You can even visualize a new home or a new car. But visualize in great detail. Close your eyes. Just like I visualized building homes, and guess what? I became a builder. I saw it. I felt it. I tasted it. People used to tell me you've got sawdust in your brain. That's all I ever talked about. I was so in love with building. I actually played with wood and people paid me for it. I just couldn't get over that. You could actually image a loving relationship. You could image a perfect client. A client, for example, that continues and renews with you and asks for your services over and over again, who respects you and actually takes the knowledge that you give and uses it and pays you before you even ask. Quite extraordinary. When the mind images upon your brain, it must be detailed and exactly as you want. The brain, like a computer, will then perform whatever it is given in pictures. And keep going back to see these pictures. Use your imagination. Keep them dust-free and adjust wherever it is, whenever it is necessary. Let your imagination soar. Once the picture is set, now your brain has plenty to do. It will not kill you like Arcot's slave. So it is important to image in great detail. Now, one last obvious question, and I'm going to close. The question usually comes up, so how long do I have to image what I want before I actually create it? And the answer is very simple. As long as you say it will. So pay attention. Be detailed and do it right. So many blessings for you now. Until next week, God bless.